Well, today we get the pleasure of honoring our high school graduates. And so what I'd like to do today, well, what we're going to do, is we're going to take a look at some of God's Word that will specifically be beneficial to those that are moving on to the next portion of their lives. And the good thing about it is these are lessons for all of us to be reminded of. As I was going through this lesson, I said, well, you know, our Lance and Lily, our high school graduates, they're probably listening less than the rest of us. So I wanted all of us, they got a lot going on this time of year. I wanted all of us to be reminded of these lessons. So these are a good lesson for all of us. And as we sang that song in the kids' giving, just to be reminded that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, that is our guide. God's Word is our guide, and we all forget that. We just assume. Yeah, I remember what that flashlight showed me last time, so I don't need it this time, right? That's how you and I tend to go through life sometimes. And that's all well and good until, you know, a loved one moves something in the house and you find it in the middle of the night. Walk right into it. Well, how'd that get there? How did the world around me change without my knowing? And yet, if you don't have that light for every step of your way, that's when we run into trouble. So this morning we're going to take a look at some stories in the Bible that really remind us to look to Him for everything. After our lesson's over today, we're going to have Lance and Lily and their families come up, and we're going to pray for them, and then we're going to offer them a gift and a token. And as you saw, as you were walking in this morning, if you have any gift for them, that you can put them back on the table and just wish them well and wish them congratulations. So we are happy to be able to do this and take this special time for that. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Scriptures. Heavenly Father, today as we come together, we are reminded that Jesus died so that we could live. And Father, I'm convicted this morning, because when Jesus returns, there will not be a single person that regrets their decision to follow You. And there's going to be so many that regret their decision to not follow You. So let us be thankful. Father, let us be thankful because You love us. You take such good care of us. You give us everything we need for life and for blessings and for goodness. So we ask a blessing on our graduates. We ask a blessing on all of our members. We pray that all of us, Lord, will use Your Word every day as the light to our path, the lamp for our feet, so that we don't stumble and that we will live faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. All right, graduates here, this morning is just four simple little lessons, okay, of what you're going to experience in life and what God is going to call you to do. And we find the first one in Genesis chapter 12. Sometimes in life, God is going to call you to go. He's just going to call you to go. Sometimes it's time, right? It's just time. You need to leave a situation and a period of your life that is over, and it's time to go. And in Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abram, this is God's initial promise in the whole Bible that just sets up everything for the rest of the story and for our story and everything else. This is pivotal, okay? This is big. And it all starts with God's call to Abraham to go. He had to get out. So I guess it's really for Tony and Aaron, just to encourage Lance to. It's time to go, right? It's time to go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'll show you. And I'll make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God calls Abram and says, look, Abram, I'm going to do something with your life that's going to be a blessing for everybody. This is big. This is big. Now, what do we take from this? Well, church, what we take from this, all of us, is that our life being called by God has the potential to be a blessing to everyone around us. And it all starts with this call to go. God came to Abram and says, all right, I need you to leave that safe space. I need you to leave everything you grew up with and everything you were comfortable with and everything you knew, and I need to bring you here to a new place so that you learn to follow me. And one of the great things about, you know, graduating high school and going through a major life achievement, accomplishment, or just a time in our life is that things change, right? I mean, you remember when you finished school or when you moved out of your parents' house and you had to start taking care of yourself and you had to start providing for yourself and you know, that wonderful transition of, those people did a lot more for me than I realized. It's a happy day for us at our house. And I was telling Sonny, I said, hey, you know what the best part about Senior Sunday is? Not having any seniors. Love that. But we've got one getting married this summer. And I'm already making plans. I'm like, they're coming off the health insurance plans. They're getting their own cell phones. Well, car insurance is going to be a thing of the past. I said, we are about to get a raise by the end of 2024. Because I never looked at how much we were paying for health insurance for, you know, those boys that were no longer under my roof. You know, they've gone. They've done a great job of getting out of my house, but I'm still footing a lot of that bill. And so we are really looking forward to that. But God starts great things when you and I take a look around us and realize he's got something for me out there. And Lance and Lily, God's got something for you out there. And some of it may be a challenge outside of the safety of your own parents' house, but that's okay. That's okay. When we trust him, he's going to take care of us. And when we allow him to guide our steps where mom and dad are no longer voice number one in our heads, but when God's voice becomes voice number one in our heads, then we get new direction and we get better direction. Because all the lessons your parents gave you growing up, they're going to be, you're going to remember them. You're going to remember them because your parents have been teaching you God's will your whole lives. And now you get to go straight to the source. You're going to go straight to the source, and you want, and we want for you, God's voice to be the loudest one in your life, because he's going to lead you to good, and he's going to allow you to be a blessing to others. So listen to the voice of God and know that he's going to lead you to spread his blessings. Here's number two. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, another familiar, famous story. Luke chapter 1. The second lesson that I want you to see today, the first one was the call to go. The second one is a call to serve. The second one is a call to serve. The more you grow up, the more you mature, the more you become your own person, the more you realize and understand that our purpose in being Christians, our purpose in being followers of God, is being good for other people and allowing God to do good things with our lives. And you can ask anyone around you, because our story is, I would not have been able to have the positive effect that I have had on the lives of others if God wasn't the one doing the work. That we get to do so much good for other people because we have been faithful for God's call to say, hey, I need you to come do this. I need you to come do this. And we have missed, when we don't do that, we miss so many opportunities. In Luke chapter 1, God calls Mary to serve. God calls Mary to serve. And here's the thing. When God calls you to serve, it's not always convenient, is it? It doesn't go along with your 5-year, your 10-year plan. We got here yesterday afternoon. Fern was having her 90th birthday party. Parking lot, we were early, but the parking lot was already full. Guy ran out of gas right across the road. He'd already gotten out of his car. He had the gas can. And I could recognize the gate because that's what my mom went through. This dude had had a stroke a couple years ago. He was going to walk 2 miles to Stripes with that gas can. Like, that guy will still be walking to Stripes when we're through with the party. And I dropped Sonny off. I said, Sonny, I got to help this guy. So got him in my truck, loaded him up, talked to him. He actually is the neighbor of Stasia. He lives in he lives in Yells Park. So he had run out of gas right out here. And so got him down the road, filled up his gas can, brought him back, poured the gas can in his car, ruined a nice pair of shoes. That gas and concrete did not wash out. So I thought of Tony. Because Tony's always the one telling me, whoa, boy, no good deed goes unpunished. I said, yeah. So there is sometimes a personal cost to serving others and taking care of others, but I was glad to do it. And he and I got to talk and found out he's the neighbors of the Elams. He lives in their park, and he had just run out of gas. He'd had a stroke a couple years ago. Young guy, but he'd had a stroke a couple years ago. He was not walking well down the road, and I was like, I got to do that. Sometimes God's going to call you to inconvenient things to serve other people, but you can be a blessing to others when you say, hey, you know what? My time, what I want to do, it's not mine. It's God's. And so God calls Mary here in Luke chapter 1. He shows up and says, hey, Mary, I need you to do something. I need you to do something. And again, Lance, your folks ever woke you up on a Saturday morning and said, hey, we need you to do something? Yesterday? Okay, so this is a fresh lesson. It's right there. It's right there. That was inconvenient. I was like, I'm sleeping here. Seriously? I'm sleeping here. I don't know how many more Saturdays I'm going to have to just sleep. And yeah, that's kind of what God does when he's in control of our lives. He shows up, he wakes us up and says, hey, I need you to do something. And so I want us to take a look at this story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. Now, look, here's the thing. When your parents wake you up on a Saturday or God shakes your shoulders to be able to do a good thing, remember that's the hello. Greetings, O favored one. When you first get your call to serve other people, that's what God's saying to you. You are a favored one because I have put you in this position to do good for somebody else today. That's not a have to. That's not a negative thing. You are favored in God's eyes when he puts you in a position to be able to serve somebody else. And so he greets her. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. God's with you when you're walking in the steps of Jesus. God is with us when we follow in the steps of Jesus. And so when we are called to serve, he is with us. But verse 29, she was greatly troubled at the saying. She tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, well, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Look, as you grow up, God's going to challenge you. He's going to bring you to challenges that at face value, this seems too big. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And we've all been there. We've all been there. Later, when I inform my boys that they are now responsible for their own health insurance and health care, that's going to seem like a challenge that is too big for them. Well, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to handle this? And I'm going to say, well, you're adults. Figure it out. Figure it out. Right? But, well, I mean, we were in the same shoes. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to tackle this? How are we going to accomplish this? Because this seems pretty big. And life just does this. And before you've ever faced something, before you've ever accomplished something, if it's worthwhile at all, the first time is kind of scary. It's kind of scary. How do we get our own place to live? How do we set up our own bills? How do we get our own cell phone payment? I don't know how do you do all these things? The first time it is rather daunting. But we got to remember, God says, I'm bringing you to serve, and I'm going to be with you for the whole thing. I'm going to be with you. So as God calls us all to serve, we are not serving alone. He is with us. And when he calls us to serve, that means we are a favored one. Okay? If you notice how when you start handing out money to people that ask for it, they start showing up out of nowhere? You ever notice that? You ever notice that when someone's on the side of the road or someone's broke or someone needs help and you do the right thing, more people need help? Yeah, exactly. When you get good at ignoring it, God stops presenting it. When you get good of living for yourself, God lets you. God lets you. So whenever God brings you an opportunity to serve, do not ignore it and do not push it away. Because if you refuse God enough times, he will say, okay, I'll find somebody else. I'll find somebody else to do my work. So be a favored one of God and serve. Serve. You know, graduates in church, that's the fun part of faith, isn't it? The fun part of faith is not me getting through the day going, well, I didn't kill anybody, I didn't cuss anybody out, and I didn't commit any great major sins. That's not the fun part of faith. The fun part of faith is you would not believe what God brought me to do today. You would not believe the person that I met today, or you would not believe the opportunity that I got to do today because I was following in faith. That's the fun part. It was scary. I didn't know how we were going to make it, but we did. But we did because God's with us. Because God's with us. So do not be afraid to serve, and do not ignore his call to serve. All right, here's the next one. Turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. You'll appreciate this one, your parents won't. Mark chapter 5. Sometimes God calls you to stay put. It's an important lesson, okay? It's an important lesson. Sometimes God calls us to stay put because we get frustrated. We get frustrated when life's not moving forward at the pace that we think it should be. Especially when you're in your late teens, your early 20s, and you think that, well, my progress should be, you know, I should be hitting this milestone, and I'm hitting this milestone, and, you know, I graduate, and I go to school, or more school, or I get the job, I have the relationship, you know, I should be having all these things in this, you know, timeline that I've set up for myself. And sometimes God says, no, you're going to stay here for a while. You're going to stay here, and it frustrates us. It frustrates us when things are not moving forward as we plan. But sometimes God's call to us is stay put. Now, what we're going to see from Mark chapter 5 is while we are called to stay put, that is not wasted time. That is not wasted time. Mark chapter 5, let's start in verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart. He broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from far away, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, side note. That should scream to us. When you're talking to someone and they're, why would you believe in Jesus? Man, the demons are smart enough to believe in Jesus. Some of the people we deal with on a daily basis are worse than demons. Facts. Some of them are demon controlled. You want to know the difference? There it is right there. The demons know Jesus. The demons know him. And he runs right up to him. This guy has been running around the mountains. He can't be subdued. He can't be changed. I mean, he is just ripping his clothes off. He's cutting himself. He's screaming at all hours of the night. I mean, that is a scary thing, okay? That's not like, you know, you tuck the kids into bed and you're like, oh, yeah, there's old Fred again on the mountain. Who knows what he's up to? Uh-uh. That's not the kind of screaming that's going on. That's a haunting screaming. I was sitting up late last night, and I was in the living room, Sonny was back in the bedroom, and I thought I heard music. I was like, okay, it's after 11. I should not be hearing music outside of my house. And I got up, and I was kind of looking around, and I thought there was going to be some car outside, you know, parked out there somewhere with the radio cranked up. I was kind of, okay, what is this? And I get to the window. And I don't know if this was an auditory hallucination or what, but I get to the window and I listen, and there's a little place where the wind was blowing just right through my window, but it sounded like music. I heard music. I know I heard music. And so it was okay. That's a little strange. So this combination of this wind blowing through the window the dog breathing a little heavy there underneath the window. It was kind of messing with me. This is not one of those situations. They hear this guy crying out. You know exactly what this is. This is bad news. This is bad news. And he runs straight to Jesus and he says, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, I beg you, by God, do not torment me. My life is bad enough. Don't make it any worse. Please. You and I meet these people. You and I meet these people that things are going so poorly for them that the last thing we want to do is to make it worse. And that's where this guy is. That's where this guy is. And so Jesus said to him in verse 8, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what's your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, so they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Look, when you're stuck, because this guy, first he runs at Jesus and he's screaming out, please don't hurt me anymore. And then after Jesus heals him, he screams out, please just let me be with you. Take me with you. When your life changes and you go through a big change, sometimes the best thing we want to do is be like Abram and let's get out of here. Let's go and let's change. And sometimes God says, stay put. Stay put. Sometimes God is going to call you to stay. So what do we do when we're called to stay? Exactly what Jesus tells this man. When you're in a holding pattern in your life, that is not the time just to sit there. And what we like to do, right? Navel gaze. Focus inward. Well, let's think more about me. That'll fix my problems. We've all fixed all of our problems by thinking more about ourselves, right? Yeah. Ever had a day where you're just not feeling it? I don't know. The makeup's not on right. None of these dresses just make me look the way that I want to look today. I can't get the hair to part like it should. And we spend too much time in front of the mirror, right? You ever get any good answers there? Nope. I'm looking for things in my teeth and boogers. That's it. That's it. That's all mirrors are for me. If the nose is clear and the teeth doesn't have any offensive food in it, I'm out. I don't get good news there. That's not where you get good news. You don't get good news thinking about yourself, focusing on yourself, staring at yourself. That's not where good news is found. Good news is found in Jesus. When you're focused on Him, what do you hear? I love you. You're one of mine. You're fantastic. You are blessed. You are good. That's what you need to hear. That's what you need to hear. Boy, I think I just solved the next generation's problems. Right there. Yeah. No, I think that's the solution to a lot of our problems. It's not about us. Well, He wants to go. Jesus, take me with you. And Jesus says, you can do good right here. Go tell everybody. Go tell your family. Go tell your family what Jesus has done for you. What a great start, right? Go tell your family. Right? You're not beating them over the head with it. That's not what Jesus did. You're just telling them, hey, look at the change in my life because of Jesus. Because here's where I was. I was this crazy dude cutting himself and screaming, filled with demons. And now I can sit down, clothed, dressed, calm, at peace, and sit around the campfire and have dinner. No problem. I don't have to beat you up with the good news. I don't have to abuse you with the good news. I'm not doing that anymore. And I can just share with you the good that God has done for me. So when you are in a holding pattern, when God says, stay put, remember to look around you and say, who needs to hear good things? Who needs to hear good things? So, sometimes there's a call to stay. All right, here's the last one. See, this one's easy. Nice and short. Proverbs chapter 3. Jerry read it for us already. Proverbs chapter 3. Here's the big one, the big life lesson above everything else. God calls us to trust Him. Okay? Sometimes He calls us to go. Sometimes He calls us to serve. Sometimes He calls us to stay. But in the end, the most important lesson, God calls us to trust Him. To trust Him. Now, the wonderful thing about graduation, about growing up, becoming your own person, being more responsible for yourself, the wonderful thing is all those lessons that your parents have been teaching you, the good things you learn, the bad things you learn, the examples you're going to continue, the examples you're going to avoid, all those wonderful lessons, as they come to a part of your history and a part of who you are, you get to put your energy in trusting the Lord directly. That's a big turning point in our lives. When we no longer are relying upon our parents' faith and everything they told us every day, but instead we go straight to the source and say, okay, what is God saying to me? How's He directing my life? Not how is He directing me through my parents' teaching. How is He going to teach me? Love that, right? Love that. Now, if your parents did a good job, you're going to come back and go, hey, remember that thing you told me? Turned out to be true. Go figure. Go figure. And those of you, parents, that's an awesome day when your kids come back and say, you were right. So some of you are just like, I would love to hear that. It's all right. It's coming. It's coming. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 3. God calls us to trust you. God has taught you what is good and what makes for a good life and future. And so He says there in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Look, every good lesson you receive from your parents, every good thing that we have read from God's Word, they are for your benefit. Doesn't always look like it at the beginning. Sometimes we're waking up like Mary on a Saturday morning going, what? How can mowing the lawn possibly make my life better? Whatever it is. And we just get interrupted and God says, hey, I need you to do something. Or God says, hey, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to learn something. We're not always ready for it, but we have to know. We have to know that when God tells us to do something, when God calls us to do the right thing, to do the faithful thing, to trust Him, it is for our own good. God is not punishing us by making us obey. That's not what He is. That's not what He's about. God knows how it works best. And when we trust Him enough to listen and do it His way, things work out the way they're supposed to. Now, might it be difficult when no one else is doing the right thing? Yes, sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we're standing alone. But it's always for good. It's always for good. So we have to trust God. He says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Whew, side note. You know what? I'll just start with the old people. Let's say everyone above the age of 12. What? I'm calling us old. Everyone above the age of 12. You are not the smartest person in your head. I'm shocked. Parents, kids, grandparents, whoever you are not the smartest one in the room. I know. We have an impressive room just even right here. But you're not the smartest person in the room. God knows best. God knows best. And sometimes that's a difficult lesson. Sometimes it's a hard lesson to be humble enough to say, you know what? I may not have all this figured out. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to actually ask Him. I'm going to actually, that's going to be my prayer. Lord, I need you to show me what's the best decision here. I need you to show me what direction do I need to be going. I need you to show me, what do I need to be thinking about this situation? What does my opinion need to be about this or them or whatever? God knows best. He knows more than me. He knows more than you. No matter how long you've been following Him, He knows better than we do. He's got a better vantage point. Okay? So, as we are called to have faith in God, trust that He loves you enough to point you in the right direction, and He knows more than you do. So that's what leads us to verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make straight your paths. Recognize the Lord. Be thankful. Be thankful. In everything you do. All right. This morning we're not going straight to the song, but I want to remind all of us. Genesis 12, call to what? There we go. Call to go. That's right. Let's see. The second lesson. Luke chapter 1. Mary's call to serve. That's right. Mark chapter 5. Third lesson, call to stay. Stay. And finally, Proverbs 3. The third Proverbs is a call to trust. You do those things, you just start to head in that direction. Your life's going to be better. So wonderful lessons for all of us. Wonderful lessons for all of us, but especially for our special graduates today. So this morning, we invite you to trust God for your salvation. We invite you to trust God for your lives. And what we'd like to do now is I would like our graduates and their families to come on up. Yeah, uh-huh. Steve didn't let us stand up and sing, so you guys got to come up and stand up. So I'm going to offer a prayer for our graduates and their families, and up here, families, that's right. Come on up here. I'm going to offer a prayer for them, and then Steve is going to present them with gifts, and then after services, if you haven't had an opportunity, you can offer your well wishes. And your congratulations. So, all right. I looked at your brother first. I was like, yeah, he was on this. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so Lance and Lily are high school graduates. Hey, we're very proud of you guys. We're very happy for you guys. We love you very much. And it's been fun just seeing you grow up and be a part of Sunrise and just to be able to see you and all your accomplishments and just the way that the Lord is working in your life. And just, we want you to know, we love you. We know your parents, your family loves you. we love you. You're a part of us. So we want you to feel like a part of us now, in the future, for all time. So church, let's go to our Father in prayer and let's ask the Lord's blessings on them. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for Lance and we thank you for Lily. And we just, Father, we thank you for letting them be a part of our church family. We thank you for letting us see them grow up. And we thank you for this special time in their graduation of high school. We thank you for the wonderful accomplishments that you've given them. We thank you for the wonderful memories that you have provided for them. We thank you for the wonderful ways in which their families have trained them and supported them and helped them to become the people that they are today and the people that you want them to be for their whole lives. I ask, Father, your blessings to be upon them. I ask, Father, that you guide their steps. I ask, Father, that they learn the wonderful sound of your voice, that you bless them with faith. I pray, Lord, that when they mess up, they will know that you still love them and they can turn to you quickly. I pray, Lord, that when you give them an opportunity to serve, that they'll have open eyes, that they'll take it, and that they'll know that you are with them. I pray, Lord, that you lead them to success and good and keep them yours. We thank you for these two, and we thank you for their families. And Father, once again, I just ask that you bless them, that you remind them every day of how much you love them and how important and special they are to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.